This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
We're going to dive into week two of our Foundations series. In your scripture, you can go to the book of Romans, chapter 12, is where I'll be heading in a moment here. I want to bring your attention while you're turning, though, to this other insert that was in your guide today. We're beginning a new youth-focused group, and appreciate those that have kind of helped spearhead this and cast a vision for it. January 21st is the date that I'm thinking that comes to mind. It's not on this sheet of paper, but I think that's the correct date, that they'll be meeting together next Saturday, so a week from now? Is that a week from today? Is that right? Wow. What's today's date? Yeah, it's crazy how that works, isn't it? So a week from today, And, you know, you can come if you don't do this, but this is just a good indicator of who's interested. So you want to fill that out and turn it back in. You can just leave that at the info desk on your way out if you want to let us know. We're excited about what God's doing. This foundation series, we're believing that it's time to give attention to the basic things, because we believe that this is a building year for us. We're excited about what we see happening. Have you noticed how clean everything looks and how, do I dare say, Spartan? You know, after all the Christmas decor, appreciate the day transition team who helped come and reset Tuesday night. Thank you for the crew that did that. So now we're ready, and we're working on the plans for this year, and it's going to be a great, great year. And, of course, getting this youth team going is another step toward that. Last week, as we started this foundation series, I made a statement that I want to repeat to you today. It says this: it's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. We said whether it's your marriage, whether it's your finances, and frankly, whether it's a church. You know, this might seem like a small thing for us to gather tonight, but it's an important thing. First of all, we want you to be safe. But we also feel like it's important for us as a community, as a congregation, to gather regularly and give attention to the things that really matter. It'd be easy to let our comfort or our convenience get in the way of that. Chris and I were talking about that today. It's like, ain't nobody going to miss the Chiefs game tomorrow. I don't care. Hell or high water, they're going to be there. It's like, oh, that we could have that same determination, right, about seeking the kingdom. Come on now. Now I'm meddling. But, you know, it's like I know that God looks at us and sees that hunger and thirst and loves to meet that. So what we're saying is, God, give us a hunger and thirst for the things that matter, that are eternal. And help us make the right choices in these small things. Everybody wants the big, successful thing. And, you know, that's not a bad thing to desire. But if you don't give attention to the small things, things that cause a foundation to be laid, you build on any other foundation than that solid rock, and it's going to be shaky. So then when the storms come, when the wind blows, when the waters rise, we find ourselves kind of, you know, wavering. It's because we haven't built on a solid rock. Everybody goes through tough times, but it's the ones that are built on the bedrock, the foundational truth of God's word. We said that words matter. Last week, I challenged you to think of one word for 2017, a word from the Lord. I ask you to pray about that one word. I ask you to ask the Lord for a scripture to go with that, because his word is what is eternal. So I don't know how many of you, just by show of hands, anybody did your homework and have a one word for this year? Very good. Excellent. Well, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do, is to go out on the chalkboard before you leave. I want you to write your one word. You don't have to sign your name to it, okay? We don't know whose word is what, but already a couple of folks have done that. I've seen it's kind of fun. I put my word out there. My word for 2017, it's something that kind of surprised me, but I feel like it's a good thing, and it's the word authentic. I believe the Lord is calling me to be authentically who he's called me to be. I think when I became a pastor, I thought I had to be somebody else. And that's silly, because he called me. So why should I have to be somebody else, you know? to be genuine to who He's created me to be. And that's true for all of us, to be living from that place that He's created us, gifted us, crafted us. I don't care what place you find yourself, you've got to be you. That's my word for this year. I also have a word for the church that I wrote on the board. It's the word breakthrough, because I believe this is our year to break through that wall and get into that bigger space. Not just because we want more room, but because we are out of room. So it doesn't look like it today, right? But trust me, on a regular Sunday, we're wall to wall, and that's discouraging people from coming and visiting. So that's the church's word, I think, for this year is breakthrough. I want to see your word on the wall. I just want to see what God's speaking to each of you. That one word to focus on for 2017. Today I want to talk about not only words, but we said last week there's a progression here that words lead to actions, and actions lead to habits, and habits create your destiny. So the next area I want to focus on is our word and now our thought life. Because the proverb says, Proverbs 23 verse 7 says in the New King James, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." As a man thinks in his heart. That's a powerful word. I want you just to kind of ponder that this week about your thoughts. You know, and if you're like most people, me in particular, oftentimes I find my thoughts kind of like a galloping horse, and they're getting away from the foundational truths of God's word. And the scripture tells us that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Life always moves in the direction of your strongest thought. Think about that. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thought. So if you are in a place where you're continually thinking that you can't, guess what? You won't. That's exactly right. If you dwell on your problems constantly, guess what? Your problems will overwhelm you. And if you feel like a victim continually, you'll become one. Now, this isn't some mumbo-jumbo mind trick I'm trying to pull on you here. I'm just telling you how important our thoughts are. Instead, we can think about our ability. The Word of God says what? I can do what? All things through Christ who gives me strength. That's what I think on. That's the truth, the reality. When I look for opportunities instead of just all the reasons why I can't do something, when I believe I can overcome because of what God says about me, it's so powerful, the thoughts that we allow to take root and germinate in our mind. And in this arena of our thoughts, it not only affects how we view ourselves, but how we view others, doesn't it? It's what we think about us and our potential and our abilities, but also the people that we encounter. I think about the people that will come to Restoration who will be like the character that just sees himself as a freak or doesn't have any value. And I love what the circus master said is, you know, we don't put people's imperfections on display here. You know, he didn't have a freak show. He helped the man find the strength. And he said, yes, you do have an advantage over the rest of them, right? Because the greater the challenge, the greater the opportunity. That is just such a great message. It's not just positive thinking. It's what the Lord says about us. I don't know today where you're at in your thought life. If there were a scale we could put up and I would have you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, with worried being on one end of the scale and peaceful being on the other end of the scale, where your thought life is at right now, or on the scale of negative versus positive, do you see yourself and life around you from a negative perspective or a positive perspective? Do you think of things and judge them based on a worldly set of values or an eternal set of values? That's how our thought life is gauged. And the things that we process and how we view the world, if we're constantly worried about our children or our money or our health or our jobs, our future, or if we're secure in God's promises, to do what we can and then trust in God for the rest, to be living a life full of peace. If we're negative and we're constantly critical of people, we're always pointing out their faults, always pointing out our own reasons why we can't, we're discontented, or do we see things from the positive perspective and believe the best in people? That life is good, that He is a good Father, an optimistic viewpoint, that He has things in control. when our mind is consumed with the things we see around us and we gauge it by the worldly perspective, we'll always be negative and pessimistic. But if we instead focus on making an eternal difference with the life we've been given, no matter what we see as our disadvantages or our lack of gifting, we use this life to give, to be generous, to reach people. That's, I think, more along the lines of what he's created us to do. It says in Romans 12, 2, this is where I want to land tonight. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let me give you just a couple of quick tips about how you change the way you think. First thing you've got to do is you have to capture destructive thoughts. Capture destructive thoughts. I've always loved this verse. It's so very graphic to me. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Those are those thoughts that hold us captive to certain patterns of thinking. We demolish, verse 5, arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And here's the core, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. In my way of thinking, here's how I visualize that. It's like I'm constantly on duty, and I'm evaluating the thoughts that come to me. I'm like a soldier, right, on guard. I'm guarding the castle of my mind. And if a thought comes to me, first of all, I've got to recognize that not every thought that comes to me is my thought. You realize that? Not every thought that comes to you is your thought. It's not always a good thought. So you have to take captive. When I just picture it like this soldier with the bayonet, right? And I just hold this thought captive until I figure out which side it's on. Are you on the good side or the bad side? And if I find out it's not a thought that lines up with the Word of God, I take it captive. I literally picture myself sticking it in the gunny sack, right? And I chuck it. I get it out of my head because it doesn't belong there. It's not a thought that leads me toward God's path for my life. I know it sounds silly, but that's how I pray. When I have a thought that comes into my head that I know is not productive, it's not the way God thinks, I take it captive, you know? And I dip that gunny sack in the blood of Jesus, and I throw it away. Because where I don't let something have root in my life, it will not produce fruit in my life. That's true for any thought that comes your way. Taking it captive, according to the Word of God. When thoughts come that says, I can't, I never will, I'm not enough, I can't change, I'll never be happy, those are not thoughts from God. Those are not the thoughts of your good, good Father we sang about a while ago. That's the truth. And you have to decide if you're going to believe the truth or the trash. It's not whether or not you can make a difference. It's what Christ in you can do. And is he limited? Is Jesus limited at all? No. And he wants to specifically work his strength out through you. And you'll have an impact on people that I'll never have. You'll be able to touch people. I remember when we went to the DR and Chad was there. Chad's a little more athletic than me, slightly younger, just by a day or two. And there were these young men, these young Dominican guys. And it's like, you know, I'm fat old white guy, right? So I got wasn't too much impressive to them, but Chad is a stud on the basketball court, and they love to play basketball. So Chad, he would just take off in the afternoons, and we knew where he was. He was up the street playing basketball with these guys, and he was able to make connection through his unique gifting in a way that I couldn't. And that's exactly how this works. I love how the ringmaster found the strength, despite what we would call disability. Nick turned that to something that God could display, a unique strength, and he has inspired millions. You can go to his website, Life Without Limbs is the name of his organization. Crazy cool. He's married now, has a couple of kids. It's awesome how the Lord has used him. You think that you are stuck in a situation in life, and the Word says that we overcome in life by the blood of the Lamb, because we know it's all because of him, and the word of that testimony of our life and how he's worked in us. That's what will reach people. When we've blown it, we make mistakes, the Word says God works everything. together for good. Even our weaknesses, even where we fail, he says, if you'll let me, I can work this together for your good. So the first thing you do is you take captive those thoughts. You capture destructive thoughts. The second point is you fix your thoughts on spiritual things, on the good things. It says in Philippians 4:8, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Then the God of peace, when you fix your mind on the right things, then the God of peace, you say, boy, I need some peace. Where are you fixing your mind? Are you fixing it on things that are stealing your peace? Or are you founding it on the one who brings peace? Here's what I want you to know. Every person here who loves Jesus and is endeavoring to follow him is an evangelist. Through your life, you're reaching people. And what message are you portraying to them? It's not what you do, it's who you are. It's your life. I mean, I think I have limbs, but I can relate to Nick because I see my weaknesses, I see my disadvantages, I see why I shouldn't be able to do things. And it's just like God to put us in spots to say, well, I'm going to have you pastor a church and plant a new one in downtown St. Joe in front of God and everybody, right? Where if you fail, you fail big. You know, you fall, everybody's going to see it. It's a scary thing. I don't know what your platform is. I don't know where he's placed you, but I'm telling you today, there's a message to us about God's desire to help us transform our mind and the way we think. If you feel that you're not very spiritual or you don't have much to offer, I'm telling you, you'll always find what you're looking for. People, we moved into this building. People said, I just don't see how that's going to work. And in my mind, I didn't say it because I'm too polite. I just said, well, then you won't. If you don't see how it could happen, then you're not going to. But instead, if you say, if you agree with God who says, I can do all things through Christ, and it's going to look different through me than it does through her, but that's okay. It's supposed to. And what we need is the body doing what we're called to do, where we see God in every opportunity. Everywhere we look, a chance for us to reach people who need Jesus. But as we said last week, it's not by your might or your power. It's not by your strength or the force of your will, but it's by his Spirit working in you that makes the difference. Small changes make a big difference. Psalm 104, verse 34 says this, may all my thoughts be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let's say those words together. Read it with me. May all my thoughts be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. So if it's happening the opposite, if you're being dominated by thoughts, troubles, and worries, you've got to take the psalmist's advice and pray this prayer. Lord, may all my thoughts be pleasing to you. And when I do, then I can rejoice in the Lord. The Apostle Paul said that I take joy even in my troubles because I know he's working something through me. That's the truth. I just felt like today was a unique opportunity. No wonder there was an ice storm, right? It's like I felt like today there's something really impactful that God wanted to do. And I appreciate you pressing through today to catch it. I'll put the link to that movie clip on Facebook for you so you can watch it again and share it with others. I can't watch it without getting all choked up. It's like, wow. I love seeing the backstories of those circus performers. The strong man, right? The ballerina lady, flying trapeze guy. It's like, yeah, okay. Paul says, such were some of you. But thanks be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. His new life available to us. One of the things I want you to help me, I want to plant a thought in your mind today that you can help me. I'd say the biggest, not worry, but weight that I bear is what God wants to do through this work. And I believe with all my heart that 2017 is our year of breakthrough. It's my one word. So I'm gonna plant this word in you from Isaiah 54. And I want you to write this down, and I want you to agree with me. Fix in your mind the thought that God has for us a year of breakthrough. And here's his instruction. Isaiah 54, verse 2 from the New Living Translation. He says, enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, and spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. That's God's thought for Restoration Church. I believe that with all my heart. And I have to remind myself of that whenever I think, but look at all the stuff that we've got to deal with. Look at what we've got to fight through, you know, to make this happen. Those are the things that steal my peace. Those are the things that cause me to stray from the Word of God. And I fix my mind on what He says, then I say, bring it on. Let's do it. Challenges, come on. God's big enough to handle those. Do you see the pattern in your own life? I mean, for me, it's real obvious in the natural with the work that we're doing, but I think this is such a powerful spiritual truth. As we fix our foundations, as we work on the core things, our thoughts are so critical. The one word God has spoken to you for this year that you need to continue to remind yourself and remind the Lord, the scripture that you've attached to that word so you can pray that word into your life. And now the thoughts that come your way throughout the day that can either draw you away from or toward the purposes and plans of God. He's given us a real obvious demonstration of that here as the work that we're doing. And I think there's also a parallel in your life individually. And today I think that example is about the strongest I could ever hope to preach of the opportunity to allow God to do something in us, even in what we see as our weakness. Every person here today, every person listening online, God has a significant opportunity for you to make a difference in the world around you. But it's only through His work in you that it'll be accomplished. So don't be thinking it's up to me, because then you're limited. But when you open yourself up to God, you're unlimited. That's what I wanted to leave you with tonight. Why don't you stand to your feet? I want to pray. I want to pray specifically for the image of God, His thoughts toward us. The scripture says that His thoughts toward us are always good and not evil. That He knows the plans He has for us. They're plans to prosper you, to grow you, to lead you. He's your Father. And if you love your kids as an earthly father, how much more does your Heavenly Father love you? You're not limited by what you see as your disability. You're only limited by what you allow God to take those things that appear as weak and let Him prove how strong He is through those. Let's pray. God, thank You so much for this time together tonight. Kind of different. Lord, I think it's almost apropos that we had to press through some inconvenience and some kind of not the usual way of things. We've had to make time to come to You. And I think You'll reward those that diligently seek You. In fact, I know that. It's what Your word says. Holy Spirit, I just ask You now in this quiet moment that You would speak to us individually at our point of need. Each of us, Lord, struggle with insecurities, with fear, thoughts that originate in our own mind or that have come to us and been planted by others. And God, You're the one that wants to awaken our understanding tonight. So Holy Spirit, would You come now and speak very specifically to each person? Thank You, Lord, that Your word says that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Would you say that after me? Say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Those are Your thoughts toward us, God, and we say yes and amen to Your thoughts tonight. Lord, each person tonight, God, show us where we've been agreeing with the enemy, where we have not taken captive the thoughts that have infiltrated our mind, Lord, our mindsets, how we view ourselves, how we view You, how we view others. God, I pray that restoration would be a house where people who appear to have disadvantages and disabilities, God, that You would Instead, make this a house of transformation. Lord, you have set a house, a resurrection house, a hope and healing house. Lord, it starts when we are healed. It starts when our perspective is changed. I thank you, Lord, for each one here tonight who's pressed through, made a decision, God, to get up off their couch and continue to take steps toward you. Lord, I pray for healing now, Holy Spirit, to come in each of our hearts and minds. Pray, Lord, when we think about this work that you're doing in downtown St. Joe, when you think about our city, God, would you give us your thoughts? We know your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We know your thoughts, Lord, are not bound by these earthly limitations that we see and we feel. God, would you expose the lies of the evil one that keep us in prison bars, even bars that we can't see, but yet we feel limited by. Would you break us out, I pray. And God, would you make us a people that call out the best in others? When people walk in among us that we don't know, that we see, Lord, not as man sees, but we have your heart, God. And we reach out toward one another. We determine to make a difference. I thank you for it, God. Lord, we just make room for you to work. We take time for you, Holy Spirit. We say it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit, Lord. We agree with you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.